Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are really thankful that we can gather together as one body today. You have guided us with your wisdom and light. You have instructed us with your law. You have been faithful to us last year, and that we believe that you will do so in this year as well. Yet we all turned away and went our own way. We failed to live life in thankfulness. Every time we think about your law, every time we try to keep your law, we realize we are far from perfection and we feel ashamed. Yet you are calling us to come to you. You promised us to give us rest through Jesus Christ because he is gentle and lowly. And Lord, help us and guide us with your light while we listen to your word. Give us a clear mind that we can pay attention to your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we can understand your precious lesson today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from two places. And they are both in Numbers. So we are going to go to Numbers 12 first. Numbers 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoke only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting." So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. The second reading is from the same book, but a different chapter, Numbers chapter 20. The Numbers chapter 20 tells us a precious lesson that Israelites, while they were in the wilderness, they had no waters that they complained to the Lord. And then we are going to read from verse 10 to 13. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. So far. The text for this morning is from Matthew 5, verse 5. this text, Matthew 5, verse 5, but I will read from verse 1. Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And this is our text. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. After the sermon, we are going to respond by singing Psalm 46. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is such a great honor and privilege to stand here and have an opportunity to preach here. And this is my first time preaching in Providence, URC, and this is also my first time visiting Winnipeg. And speaking of the first time, this reminds me of the first time when I first came to Canada. When you come to a new place, you have to embrace many new things. And one of the new things that I had to embrace was the way that people express themselves. And I learned that there are two expressions, there are two words that are most frequently and distinctively used by Canadians. And the first word is A, E-H. And I learned that this word has many meanings, and it took me almost 1 month to figure out what A actually means. The other word which is being used by Canadians frequently and distinctively is the word sorry. When two people bumped on each other on the street, they have to say sorry without any reasons. And it took me almost 1 year to understand the true meaning of Canadian sorry. But later, one of my former housemates explained to me the reason why Canadians so love to say sorry is because Canadians are polite. Indeed, impolite words can escalate tension, whereas polite words prevents escalation. And the Bible also speaks of the importance of gentleness. In Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, A gentle answer turns away the wrath, but the harsh word stirs up anger. Today's passage is also talking about meekness. Well, what is meekness? Meekness can be understood as gentleness, politeness, and humbleness. Meekness is like you render good things to other people first. Being meek means you're putting other people in priority. You listen to others. You humbly take care of others before you take care of yourself. And opposite words can be disobedience, impertinent, and pride. And let me ask you this question. Are Canadians meek or rebellious? I think you already know the answer, and I agree. Canadians are meek. In fact, Canadians are so meek and gentle to the point that they tolerate almost everything. We see that some Canadians are meek on abortion. Canada is tolerating a mother killing her unborn babies. Now Canada seems to tolerate same-sex marriage. And some says that tolerance is always good. Yes, indeed, tolerance is very good and necessary. But tolerance is good only when it is used in the right place and right time. For instance, you don't just want to tolerate a person who just killed a man. You don't just tolerate a person who steals your money and lied to you. And in this morning, we just read Matthew 5, verse 5, where Jesus is talking about meekness. And I'm afraid that people often mix this meekness in this passage with Canadian politeness or Canadian tolerance. This morning, I would like to ask a question. Are these two things really the same. Is blessed are the meek means that we should tolerate everything whatsoever. Does these two things mean that we should be gentle to other religions? Does this passage suggest that we should be tolerant to the same-sex marriage? And with these questions in our mind, let us look at the following theme and points. The theme is, Jesus said, meek are blessed because they will inherit the earth. The first point, we are going to look at how the meek are blessed. The second point, how the meek inherit the earth. First point, how the meek are blessed. What is meek? What is the biblical definition of meek? And allow me to give you the answer right away. And being meek is deeply related to our covenant relationship with God. And being meek has everything to do with being obedient, humble, and gentle, and listening to God's word. And I already said that being meek is being gentle and humble, but the question is, being meek on what? To whom? And to whom should we be listening? To whom should we be humble? And the answer is, being meek is to be obedient and humble to God. And please allow me to give an example from the Bible. And in Exodus, we find the story about Moses. And especially in Exodus 2, that we read about Moses killing an Egyptian who was giving a hard time to Hebrew slave, his brethren. And Moses looked this way and that way, seeing no one, and he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And as a result, Moses had to flee to the land of Midian. He had to learn how to be a humble man for 40 years by being a shepherd. And think about it, 40 years. It certainly is not a short time. It's a lifetime work. But in his goodwill, God prepared Moses for 40 years. When Moses struck the Egyptian and fled from Egypt, he was at his prime age. He was 40 years old. And he also had the best social status ever. He was a prince of Egypt. And he probably could do anything that he wanted to do with his power. And that's what he did. Moses tried to solve the problem by his strength. And he failed. And Moses had need to be humble. When Moses was trying to do, then God trained him for 40 years with the most humble occupation. And God called Moses when he was 80 years old. Why did God call Moses at the age of 80? Why not at 40 or 50? Or even when he was still young? What can an 80 years old shepherd possibly do? And brothers and sisters, there's a precious lesson behind the story of Moses. God made Moses the humblest, the meekest man on the earth, so that Moses could totally depend on God. Again, what can an 80 years old shepherd possibly do? Nothing but to depend on God. And as a result, Israelites could be freed by God's leadership, not by Moses' leadership. And Israel could learn that the precious lesson that salvation belongs to God, not to Moses. Moses listened to God and obeyed to God. If Moses was not humble or meek at all, but rather was arrogant and rebellious, then you can imagine what would happen. The heart of meek is tender and soft, whereas an arrogant man has a hardened heart. Moses listened to God, and you know the Pharaoh, the Egyptian king, did not. And you know the result very well. Pharaoh lost his firstborn, Not only Pharaoh suffered, but the whole nation suffered as well. And on the other hand, Moses and Israelites were blessed by God, not facing those 10 plagues. Perhaps it is true in every church, if one member is not humble to God, not only that person has difficulties with others, but also others may have some difficulties with that person. The society that we are living right now demands us not to be humble. The society is demanding us to be proud. It says, the winner takes all. When you bump on someone on the street, you don't have to say sorry. Who cares about others? Who cares about God's commandment? Who cares about those unborn babies? Who cares about God's warnings against same-sex marriage? And when we do render to others, when you care about others, when you care about God's commandment, when you raise our voice and shout against abortion, people start to make fun of us. And these things for us are very crucial when it comes to our relationship with God. And I heard a phrase that people are polite and meek to everything else but to God. People rather feel comfortable with their hardened heart. People even love to ignore God's commandment when it feels convenient. Then people embrace all those wrong things, such as abortion and same-sex marriage, in the name of tolerance. And tolerating those wrong things is not being meek. That is wrong meekness. The true meekness is to embrace God and listen to God's word. The meekness toward God. And that's how we receive our blessings. We humbly surrender to God and we humbly submit everything to God. And now going back to Moses' story, Moses had a privilege to receive God's law on the Mount Sinai. And there are many striking similarities between our Lord Jesus Christ and Moses. In Matthew 5, verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him." The Gospel of Matthew intentionally draws a special attention to this particular moment. Just like Moses went up to the mountain to receive the law, Jesus Christ, the one who is greater than Moses, also went up on the mountain. And please notice the phrase that Jesus was seated. The word seated or sitting can also mean dwelling or living. The sentence that Jesus was seated on the mountain could remind people of Mount Sinai, the holy mountain, because God was dwelling there. Moses was just a mere messenger carrying the law to the people, whereas Jesus was making new laws, the better laws. The law of Moses had promise and curses, and the heaviness of curse made people to fear the Lord. However, the new law given by Jesus Christ was filled with blessings. And please notice that each beatitude begins with the phrase, "Blessed are those." It begins with blessings. It's full of blessings. It's full of blessings because Jesus Christ was the one who took all our curses. Still, the question remains, who are the meek people? They are the ones who humbly submit to God and listen to God only. They are the ones who put God as a priority. They are the ones who are truly blessed because they don't have to bear curse. And the meek are the ones who enjoys the salvation for free. And it was like the Israelites inherited the labor of other nations for free. It is well described in Psalm 105, verse 44. The Israelites not only inherited the land, but also took all the things that are in the land. And they did that so for free. And Deuteronomy 6:11 describes the promised land as the house full with the things that you did not fill, or the wells that you did not dig, and vineyard and olive trees that you did not plant. The Israelites inherited the land and all the things that are in the land with a humble heart. And the Lord also adds a warning there to make sure that make them to be humble. He said, when you inherit those things, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Becoming meek requires God's help and discipline. You remember that Moses was disciplined for 40 years. It was a very long journey, and we also know that we will go through that training to acquire the meekness. And it is not easy, of course, because of our stubborn nature, that which always inclined to rebel against God. We do really desire to be meek in our heart, yet our body keeps resisting our holy desires. We want to be meek to God and meek to our neighbors, but it's not easy as it seems. And brothers, sisters, I would like to say, please do not be discouraged because we have Jesus Christ. Please remember that Jesus was also, he also went out to the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted. And he did overcome all those difficulties. And Jesus knows very well of whatever challenges that you're facing right now. So ask Jesus for help, and he will grant you the help. And he will give you to receive the blessings. He will help you to inherit the earth. And this leads to the second point. The second point, how the meek inherit the earth. What does the meek inherit? The Bible says they will inherit the earth. And what is the definition of earth? Well, it was like the Israelites. After they escaped from the bond of slavery, the Israelites were heading to the promised land to inherit the promised land. And then it was the land that was promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was not just a piece of land, but land that flows with milk and honey. The land was called Promised Land because it itself was a blessing of the covenant. In Hebrews 11, the land was given to Abraham. It says in Hebrews 11:8 that a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, and it is called a Promised Land. Hebrews 11:9, it says, although God gave them the land for free, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived not in a permanent house or castle, but in a tent. Well, I can only think about Mongolians who are living in a tent right now. They live in a tent because they have to move constantly. The author of Hebrews gives the reason why the patriarch lived in a tent. They did so because they were looking forward to the city with a foundation whose architect and builder is God. What does this mean? It means that those patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, lived in a tent because they were looking forward to the God's city. And this city is the city that God prepared, a better country, a heavenly one. In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were looking forward to the city in the heaven. And they only could inherit the land, the earth, the promised land, the heaven, through their faith and obedience. Here in our text, Matthew 5 says the meek will inherit the earth. And we just covered that the meek is the one who listened to God and obeyed God's word with humbleness and gentleness. We also read in Numbers 12:3 The humblest, the meekest person on the earth was Moses. And it is true that Moses was the meekest person on the earth because the Bible says so. But the question is, if a meek shall inherit the earth according to Matthew 5, and why did Moses fail to get into the promised land? And we know from Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 and 6, that Moses died in the land of Moab. But why did he die in the land of Moab? We find the answer in Numbers 20, which we just read. In Numbers 20, there's a story about Moses striking the rock. The Israelites had no water in the desert and complained to Moses. And God told Moses to speak to the rock for the community that it will pour out water. But Moses was upset and he was very angry. And he struck the rock twice with his staff. The water came out. Everyone was very happy. But God was not happy with Moses because his disobedience, which dishonored his name. And some people might think that God is being too harsh there. Oh, come on, it was just one mistake. Yet the consequence was way too heavy. Yet we have to remember that there is a very, very important lesson that we should not miss. When we think about Moses, we think about the law because Moses was the one who received the law. Moses was the representation of the law. Even Moses, the one who received the law from God, even the meekest person on the earth, failed to obey God's law. And how much harder would it be for us to keep the law? The truth is, it is impossible. The Bible gives us a very clear lesson. The lesson is, Israelites could not get into the promised land through Moses. The Israelites could not enter into the promised land by keeping the law. Moses could show the way to the promised land, but he could not make the people to enter into the promised land automatically. In fact, Moses himself failed. It is the same with the law of Moses. The law can point to the way to the salvation, but law cannot save us. The law points its finger to Jesus Christ as the only way to the salvation. And we remember Jesus said in John 14:6 that I am the way. Psalm 37:10 says, the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in the abundant peace. Psalm 37 talks about the Lord reacts against the wicked and he preserves his righteous. The Lord sweeps away the wicked so that his people can inherit the earth. The people didn't have to do anything that they can boast themselves, but they had to be humble and dependent on the Lord. Therefore, it is not so much that they inherit the earth by the virtue of their meekness, but their inheritance was won by God. Although Moses was the meekest person on the earth, it was not his meekness that brought him the inheritance. Besides, the meekest person on the earth failed to enter into the promised land. Well, if Moses, the meekest person on the earth, failed, then who is the true humble man that can make us enter into the promised land? In order to find that out, we need to go back to the Gospel of Matthew. The word meek was used three times in the Gospel of Matthew. One is found in the verse that we just read, Matthew 5, verse 5. The other places are in 11, 29, and 21, verse 5, and we are going to go over each verses. And in Matthew 11, 29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And our English translation used the word gentle. The original word of this gentle is the same word that was used in Matthew 5, verse 5. Meek. The conclusion is this. Jesus is calling himself meek. Jesus is the only true man. Jesus is the only true humble man. And he is the only one who deserves the inheritance, the promised land, the heaven. Jesus was like Moses in a sense that he went up on the mountain and gave the new law. But Jesus was the far greater Moses who entered into the promised land before anyone else did. Whereas Moses couldn't even put his foot on the promised land. And brothers and sisters, then what should we do? How can we inherit the earth? No man on the earth can inherit the earth by his strength. But we can inherit the heaven through Jesus Christ. In fact, that is the only way to inherit the heaven. Then what shall we do? How do we inherit the heaven through Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." This means the union with Christ. How do we unite with Christ? We unite with Christ by faith. We can unite with Christ when we believe and obey to God. Obey? See? Again, the meekness is required. We confess that we are not able to do anything, but totally depend on Jesus Christ. The true meekness for us is to depend on the true meekness of Jesus Christ. And I said, there are three places in Matthew that word meek was used. The last place is from Matthew 21, verse 5. And Matthew 21 describes Jesus Christ as a humble king riding on a donkey. Why was he not riding on a horse or chariot or BMW or Mercedes? Because Jesus was a humble man. Jesus began his ministry with humbleness and also ended his ministry with humbleness. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 talks about the humbleness that we ought to learn from Christ. And let me just read it to you. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of cross. As we are united with Christ, we share the same Holy Spirit with Christ. With the same Holy Spirit, we slowly become humble, which leads us to obedience. We become humble to God. We take God as a priority. We take God as the first among other things. We read the Bible among other books. Some of us may be really busy with many things, but among those busy events, going to the church becomes the first among other events. The true meek and humble people are the ones who willingly obey to God, and God commanded us to come to church. And God wishes to see you coming here and listen to his word. And especially on the New Year's Eve and the first day of the new year, we are very busy with many events and parties. And we have to visit with many friends and many family members. And that is a very good thing to do. And among those events, would it be beautiful to start a new year by seeking the Lord? Isn't it very beautiful to show our meekness to the Lord on the first day of the year? And when we come to the church to listen to God's word, and when we seek the Lord, when we seek the fellowship with the Lord, we foretaste the joy of an eternal inheritance. And someday God will grant us with an eternal home for free in heaven. And a few months ago, I have to move and look for another place to live because the house that I used to live was sold. And moving house is a very troublesome. And it is certainly good to have a fixed place that you can stay with no worries. But when you go to heaven, there is no frustration for looking for a new house, because there is a permanent house waiting for you, prepared by Jesus Christ. And the Bible says only the humble and meek who trust God will inherit the heaven through Jesus Christ. And as we wish to live like Jesus Christ did, we realize we sinners can never be perfectly humble. Only Jesus is the meek person. And that makes us more humble. And please let us be reminded of this precious message while we are living as aliens in the world. Amen.